Every now and again, I discover that a word or phrase I've been using for years suddenly means something very different, especially to young people. I recently looked up the phrase mischief makers and found myself in the world of a computer game designed in Japan. It stars a robot maid called Marina Lightyears, who works for an odd person called Professor Theo. While visiting the planet Clantha, the professor is captured by an ominous-sounding group called the Empire, and Marina sets out to rescue him. The game involves her rescue attempts, which are divided into 50 levels. Evidently, the mischief makers here are the agents of the Empire, who can disguise themselves in fiendishly convincing ways. Another group of mischief makers are a group of actors and artists in Nottingham in England, who describe themselves as a creative activist collective working to make positive change in social and political issues that affect local people. Their normal method of work is to organise street parades as a form of creative protest. I admire their style, though I would probably never join them. But these two ways of using the phrase mischief makers are things I discovered by chance. The words came into my mind when I read a news item sent to me by one of the members of a working group to which I belong in Switzerland. According to the report, the president of the Swiss Teachers Association has said that because of pressure from non-Christian parents, Advent wreaths and Christmas trees should be banned from all schools in the country. The report says that there are people who find it intolerable that anything to do with Christmas should take place in school. Lower down the page, there is a quotation from the head of the Teachers Association who says that if the celebrations are of a religious character, parents can ask for their children to be dispensed. In Switzerland, there is religious freedom. There's a certain amount of vague quotation in the article, a technique used by journalists in many spheres, but it could be just mischief-making. Quotations from one person are interspersed with ideas belonging to other people. So the reader is led to think that there are angry people pushing for Christian celebrations to be banned from school. Perhaps there are, but why? The most useful thing would be to listen to the people who allegedly have been making the complaint. If they really have been complaining, it would help to know what they find offensive. I suspect they would be right to complain if they felt their children were being made to take part in what seemed to be religious celebrations without their parents being consulted. If that is what's happening, the parents clearly have the right to ask for their children not to be included in these events. They do not celebrate Christmas at home, and it is not part of their religion. But if what is happening in schools is simply a kind of party that has no explicitly religious content, other than some vague reference to Christmas, it is not really a problem. A ban on Christmas symbols in all schools seems peculiar, since a good number of the children are, in some sense, Christians, and in any case, the same symbols are used in many shops and restaurants and other public places. Is the display of a symbol related to a Christian celebration really a matter of forcing Christianity on people of other faiths and on non-believers? That seems to be the real question. Once again, the important thing is not so much what well-meaning Christians think, but hearing and listening to what the parents of children who belong to other religions really feel about it all. Person-to-person discussions are the best way forward. In my home country, the best situation is often when children's parents meet at the school gate. A good test would be how Christian parents react when the school asks the children, all the children, to learn about Ramadan or Vesach or Purim. Children are usually fascinated to learn about their friends' religious traditions. Does that worry Christian parents? Usually, the decision to ban Christian symbols is the tip of an iceberg. It could be a sign of people's deep feelings of being excluded from a society because they do not belong to what is or used to be the religion of most people there. Or it can even be a sign that people who have never believed in God think it is unhealthy for their children to be exposed to what they think is irrational or even unhealthy. It is important to allow people to say how they feel about such things and to listen to them, even when what they say does not quite match our feelings. But everybody has to be heard and taken seriously. Not only people of the minority religions or of none, but everybody, even Christian parents. A few years ago, it was reported that the authorities in a city in the heart of England wanted to abolish the term Christmas and replace it with a new one, Winterval, the winter interval. Some Christians got angry, but it was not their complaints that affected the authorities most. The local Sikh, Hindu and Muslim communities all said it was a ridiculous idea. They had no problem at all with the celebration of Christmas in a country that has a long Christian tradition. My own friends from other religions always say that they're very impressed when they see Christians who really believe in their faith and are proud to practice it. I have a similar approach. If I go into a mosque, I observe the rules. I remove my shoes, and I do not pretend to pray like a Muslim, because that would really disturb people there. If I'm in a synagogue, I cover my head, and I'm usually given a paper skull cap to use while I am there. It is a privilege to be invited, and a pleasure to see people happy in their faith. To be honest, it is sometimes relations with other Christian communities that are difficult. But in every case, where there is genuine respect for the other person's religious traditions, there are usually no other problems. That is because where there is respect and tolerance, there are no mischief makers. The mischief makers are often not religious people. They're not really standing up for the rights of religious minorities. Many do not like religion. When they say that the expression of a particular religion ought to be banned because society should be neutral towards religions, they're usually not being neutral at all, but rather trying to neutralize all religion. Religion, in their view, is something that people are entitled to practice privately. Their idea of tolerance is that nobody should express any religious convictions publicly. They really believe in parallel lives that never really intersect, which seems sad, really. I have always been fascinated to discover and get to know the traditions of people who do not believe what I believe, who do not see things the way I see them. As far as I am concerned, they are people who have a lot to teach me, and I have a lot to learn. But the mischief makers would say that they don't want to know. These are all things that should be hidden away, and one's religious beliefs should not be allowed to influence public life. Most of all, religious people's beliefs should never be allowed to affect the way anyone else lives his or her life. They should not even dare to hint that what the law permits may sometimes be immoral. Morality is private, until you disagree with them. Perhaps I sound like a mischief maker by saying some of these things. Perhaps I am one. But what I'm saying is really that I'm worried about the way religion is used by various kinds of mischief makers. Some of us know very little about what other religions teach, and we run the risk of believing the stereotypes that are so often repeated about people who are different from us. Those of us who have a public role in the church have to be honest and admit what we don't know and take steps to fill the gaps in our knowledge. That is the beginning of a dialogue based on genuine respect. And it makes no sense to enter on a dialogue with people of other religions unless we are firmly grounded in our own. Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of Christians whose view of their own religion is based on stereotypes and nonsense. The dialogue is not an attempt to eliminate our differences, but a way of ensuring that our differences never give us an excuse to be afraid of each other or hate each other. The people to worry about are the mischief makers who are not themselves religious and use those of us who do believe to discredit religion. And the worst mischief makers are those who belong to a religion and abuse it to achieve political power and influence. If I remember correctly what I was taught as a little boy, abusing holy things is not faith but sacrilege, which is very serious in God's eyes. To paraphrase a holy man, Father, forgive them, for they know what they're doing.
And our thanks there to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, a parish priest of St. Joseph's Blundell Sands in the Liverpool Archdiocese, and a longtime friend of ours here at Vatican Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.